I remember when this first started, I would almost kind of like dread this day because, you know, I mean, it's no secret. I'm not a minister. I haven't been called into the ministry, but I am a disciple for Christ. So I should certainly be able to stand here and tell you about his word. So I want to give all honor and praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for allowing me to be here today. I would also like to pay homage to the angel of this house, who is also my husband and my best friend, the father of my children, the Reverend Ryan Johnson, for giving me this opportunity. Reverend Miller, thank you so much for being here. God bless you, and God bless you in your ministry. So I have a couple of assignments that I have to do before I actually get into the word that the Lord gave me. And the first one is I really want to pay homage and respect to the visitors who are here, especially the ones who came based on my invitation. And I just want you to know that you are not here by accident. It is a divine appointment for you to be here. And the reason why I say that is because every year I wrestle with the Lord because he always tells me that I need to make sure that I let people know about the fact that I'm going to be bringing the word on a particular Sunday. And I'm not very comfortable with that, so I only tell maybe one or two people. Well, this year he got fed up. He's like, I'm tired of playing with you. I've let you get away with it the last couple of years, but I'm serious this time, and I want you to let some people know. And so I was praying. I was on my knees, and I was like, well, Lord, you know, I'm really having a hard time with that because, you know, I'm not really good at this. This is not really my area of comfort, and I'm just, you know, these are people that I love and respect, and to have them come all the way up here, and it doesn't go well, I'm just not really good at this. And so the Lord knelt down, and he put my chin in his hands, and he said, you're right. You're not good at this. It's not about you. It's about me. You are to do what I told you to do. You are to pour the word into you so that you can pour it into them. You reduce. This is about me. It's not about you. It's about me getting glory. Invite the people and let them come. So I'm so thankful that you're here. Excuse me. The second thing that I would like to do, and I've never done this before, and I would like to apologize for never doing it before, but I would like to pay honor and respect to all the men in the congregation. Amen. I do see you. I realize that you are here, and I realize that I'm standing before you giving you the word, but I do respect your position in the home, in the church, and on your workplaces, and I'm so grateful and thankful that you're here. So this message actually came, the Lord gave me this message back in December. I got up one morning to get ready for church, and some of you may remember I gave this testimony, and I was overwhelmed. I was looking around the house, and there was loads of laundry that needed to be done, and I was thinking about my to-do list at work, and I just got very overwhelmed with everything that I had to do. And I just started praying to the Lord. I was like, Lord, I just don't know how I'm going to get through all of this. I'm just exhausted just thinking about it. And as I was driving to church, the Lord said, listen, I'm going to help you with everything that you have to do, but there's something that I need you to do for me. So I said, yes, sir. He said, you must praise me through the process. All right. And I said, yes, sir. So I've been on a journey since then, since December, with this whole idea behind praise and the power behind praise. And I see as I look back some of the things that I've struggled with, how important it is to give praise and honor to God. I guess it was about a month or so ago, my husband and I were doing a Daniel fast, and I was really having some problems just kind of, you know, Satan was messing with me, and, you know, because Satan will definitely get on your tail if you're doing the right thing. So I was in the basement, and I was trying to pray, and the words just would not come. I could not get anything out. And I said, Lord, I just don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm supposed to address this day in prayer. And he said, excuse me, what is the message that I'm giving you to give in May? What are you supposed to do? And I said, I'm supposed to praise you, Lord. So that's all I did. My whole prayer, I didn't ask him for anything. I just praised him for who he was. And just the shackles broke off. So it's important to praise. So let us, if you will, because you know, wait a minute. Now, you know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher, but I got to be preachery every time I do this. So let me get my towel. And if the saints, if you would. If you bought your swords with you, did you put on your whole armor of God? Because the sword is the offensive weapon. So if you bought your swords, please rest on your feet. Can you rest on your feet? Is resting if you're standing on your feet. Please journey with me into the Old Testament, into 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. So, you know, I was laughing as I was preparing to bring all my stuff today, and I was thinking about the progression of time since I gave my first message, and I was looking at the font on my notes. You know, years ago, the font was like a font 10, you know, and then it progressed to a font 12. Now it's like a font 16, and I got to wear glasses. Praise the Lord for aging. There is an alternative.
Amen.
All right. 2 Chronicles 20, starting with verse 21. I'm sorry, let's start at verse 20. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the leaders of the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead. For those of you who like to write in your Bible and highlight things, underline and highlight ahead. To walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At the moment they begin to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting against themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had finished off the army of Seir, they turned on each other. Verse 24, so when the army of Judah arrived, highlight, underline, arrived, at the lookout point in the wilderness, there were dead bodies lying on the ground for as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. My message this morning is entitled, Enter in Praise.
Right.
Enter in Praise.
Right.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord God, just thanking you for another opportunity to rise and see another day, Lord God. Lord God, I did nothing to earn this day, but because of your grace and your mercy, I'm allowed to be here. I thank you, Lord God, for your word, Lord Jesus. It gets me through the day. It shows me the way that I need to go, Lord God. It is my roadmap. Lord God, I'm humbly here behind this sacred desk, asking that you would speak, Lord God. Like you told me, this message is not about me. It's not about Pam. It's not about anything that I've got going on in my agenda, Lord God, but it's all about you. So I ask that the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord God. I ask these things in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Enter in praise. So a while ago, I was at a family function. I had a conversation with the pastor's aunt. And she was telling me about the fact that her church was doing this fast together. And she was saying that they were fasting because there were so many people in their church that were having so many problems. So they felt that they just had to have a fast because they just, you know, just kept cycling in and out of problems. So she was saying she doesn't know why some of God's people continue to cycle in and out of problems and issues and foolishness. So a couple days later, I was doing some reading, and the Lord revealed to me that one of the issues that many Christians have is that we do not tap into all the benefits and resources of being God's children. We like to treat God like a life insurance policy. And we like to fold him up, put him in a drawer. And you know when a life insurance policy is any good? When you die. So that doesn't help. We trust and believe God to get us into heaven, but we don't trust him to manage and handle our everyday lives while we're still here on earth. We like him to be Savior. We're comfortable with that. But we're not sure about the Lord part, the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Because the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D requires a sacrifice. It requires continual surrendering and dying to self on a daily basis.
All right.
It requires putting God's plans and purposes ahead of our own plans, hopes, and dreams. So some of us as Christians, we're okay with knowing that he parted the Red Sea, but we don't want him to help us choose our mate. We celebrate that he healed the sick and raised the dead, but we don't want to be convicted when we're down at the barbershop buying bootleg DVDs and iPads and iPods from Lil Ricky and them. We get excited that he fed over 5,000 people with a few fish and some loaves of bread, but we don't want to give him 10% of our income. We rejoice when the preacher paints the picture of a beaten and worn Savior carrying his own cross up to Calvary to die for our sins, but we struggle with sharing our faith in mixed company. We're relieved that he saved the thief on the cross, but we argue with him when he says that we must forgive 70 times 7 times. We welcome him as Savior, but to make him capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D is not so easy. I have a Starbucks card. For anybody who knows me, you know that Starbucks is my happy place. I love going to Starbucks. And when you go to Starbucks and use your card, you accumulate points. And as you build up more points, you get to these different levels. And at each level, there's something that you get. For example, you may get a free drink on your birthday or something like that. So Starbucks will send me emails to let me know what level I'm on based on my point accumulation. And I ignore a lot of them because a lot of them are just advertising a new drink that's out. So I don't really pay a lot of attention to it. So I decided to go back and look at an old email. And it told me that I had progressed to green status. And green status states that if you buy a cup of coffee in the Starbucks restaurant and you hang out there for a little while, you can get a free refill. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many free cups of coffee I've missed out on because I was not aware of that Starbucks benefit? When we only make Jesus our Savior and not our Lord, it reduces the benefits that we're entitled to receive while we're here on earth. We forfeit some of the blessings, protections, authority, and resources provided by the source. And he shares this with us through his accomplishments that would happen on the cross. One of these resources for use here on earth is what I like to refer to as a spiritual toolbox, if you will. It's designed for our use in order to get through this thing called life. Some of the tools in the box are the Holy Spirit, prayer, fellowship with other saints, the Word of God, and the wisdom and discipline to surrender our lives daily. A very important and powerful tool that is afforded to us is praise. Praise is defined as a form of worship, which involves the whole aspect of our awe, reverence, love, and respect for Almighty God. It is entering into God's presence and proclaiming that He is bigger than anything that we're facing. C.S. Lewis, who is the famous author of the whole Chronicle of Narnia series, he wrote a book called A Word About Praise. And I found this quote, and I wanted to share it with you. "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed." Many of us use praise, but not always in the right place. We praise God when the blessings show up, when the healing has been manifested, and when prayers have been answered. There's nothing wrong with that, but God has given me to share with you today that we should enter every day, every situation, every circumstance, good, bad, or indifferent, in praise. According to the 100th Division of Psalm, the 4th verse, we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. When we make the decision that we're going to praise as we enter, we're declaring that no matter what the outcome, no matter what the circumstances, I'm going to praise the Lord. If the tumor does not go away, if the death angel still visits, if the verdict is guilty, if the divorce papers still get signed, I'm going to praise the Lord. Praising at all times, but especially as you enter, builds an intimate relationship with God. And that's one of the reasons why he created us. According to Isaiah 43:7, "Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them." Before we dig into the text, let's first understand and agree what this message is not about. It's not about all you have to do is praise and all your troubles will go away. Of course, that's possible. Why? Because anything is possible with God.
All right.
But it may not always happen that way. Because God's ultimate goal for our lives is not for us to be happy and comfortable, but it is for us to be completely dependent on Him and for us to be molded like His Son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
So whatever He has to take us through to hasten the sanctification process and cause us to be more dependent on Him, He will allow that. That being said, let's now go back and join King Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. He succeeded his father Asa. He'd appointed some judges in Jerusalem, and he gave these judges some strict instructions to always act in the fear of the Lord. And whatever case came before them, they were to warn the accused not to sin against the Lord, so that God's anger will not come against them. Jehoshaphat received word that a multitude of armies declared war against Judah. And the word says that Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was a man. He has feelings. He's concerned about his people. But he sought the Lord's guidance. He called his people to fast, and the Lord said, and the Lord sent word in chapter 20, verse 15. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Go out there tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. So the next morning, as the soldiers are headed out, King Jehoshaphat appointed singers to walk ahead. And that's why I had you underline the word ahead of the army, singing praises unto the Lord. Putting praise first positions God on the front lines of your life. This says that God is exalted above all else. Yes, that he did have an equipped army and they were ready to fight. But nothing is stronger or more powerful than the Almighty God. And the word says that when the praise team was walking ahead of the army, at that moment, the Lord caused the armies to start fighting against themselves. So when Jehoshaphat and his army arrived, they saw that not one enemy had escaped. I want to be sure that everyone caught that. When the Lord caused the armies to start fighting and destroying each other, Jehoshaphat and his army were not even there yet. That means the Lord can handle your issues and your problems before you even get there. The issue on your job is resolved overnight. The tumor in your body is taken away while you're sleeping. He doesn't need you to be present. He just needs you to praise him. Their job was simply to enter in praise, and they reaped the benefits. There are many benefits to praising God, and I'm just going to list a few here. Praising God banishes fear and triggers faith. Praise reminds us of God's sufficient, unlimited grace, mercy, and resources. Praise releases the supernatural power of God. Praise helps us to stand on God's promises. Praise helps us to be obedient to God. Praise pleases God and fills us with joy. Praise activates the favor of God, because God's favor is better than money, is better than weapons, is better than anything else you can ever have. Praise focuses our attention on our God-ordained purpose.
Yes.
Praise paves our way for total dependence on Christ. Praise reminds us that the blessor is more important than the blessing. For the sake of this message, God led me to expand on three benefits of sincere praise, especially in the midst of negative or troubling circumstances. Number one, praise invites God's peace. Philippians 4:7 in the English Standard Version reads, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, this is not a sitting on a white sandy beach, sipping something with an umbrella out of it peace. This is a type of peace that you cannot explain with words. So even though the job market is crashing and gunmen are entering schools and people are leaving homemade bombs on busy streets, our souls are at peace. Not because our environment is peaceful, not because our circumstances are perfect, but because we own the fact that yet, though you slay me, I will trust you. The more we praise him, especially in times of trouble, we'll sense his peace flowing over us. I don't know about you, but I crave that peace in the midst of my hectic day. When the storms of life rage, it's imperative for us to be able to find the eye of the storm. Because inside the eye, it's peaceful and quiet, because that's where Jesus is. The storm is still going to go on, but we've got our spirit and our eyes locked on Jesus. I did some research on the scientific explanation of the eye of the storm, and I found this, and I found it to be pretty powerful. Skies are often clear above the eye, and winds are relatively light. It's actually the calmest section of any hurricane. The eye is so calm because the now strong surface winds that converge toward the center never reach it. The Coriolis force deflects the wind slightly away from the center, causing the wind to rotate around the center of the hurricane, leaving the exact center, the eye, calm. Now allow me to change that last thought just a little bit, if you will. Jesus deflects the hate, confusion, foolishness, anxiety, and fear slightly away from the spirit, causing the hate, confusion, foolishness, anxiety, and fear to rotate around our lives, but leaving the center, which is our spirit, calm. When we're overcome with fear and anxiety and stress and emails and phone calls and parent-teacher conferences and doctor's appointments and to-do lists, only the peace of God can evoke calm and give us an assured confidence. The peace is ushered in with our praise and worship, and we're reminded that nothing is impossible for God, and He cares deeply about what's going on in your life. The second benefit of praise, and this is one of my favorite benefits, and you'll know why when I tell you what it is. Praise confuses and upsets the enemy. Hallelujah. Listen, Satan is real. He wants you to get caught up in this whole idea that he's like on the movies that wears black and carries around a pitchfork and he's just some image. But he is very, very real. And if you don't believe that he's real, that's an easy way for him to sneak his way into your life and cause a bunch of foolishness. So you have to understand and respect he does exist. James 4:7 says, "So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." We're humble before God when we worship him. And we make the enemy flee by praising the Lord. Right. Satan wants nothing more than for us to give up. Or better yet, he wants us to think that we don't need God. This started back in the Garden of Eden. He hates when we praise the Lord. It makes him miserable. He becomes confused and weak, and he'll try to flee. Satan was once an angel in heaven, if you all remember. He was adorned with fine jewels. Ezekiel 28:12 tells us, he was the perfection of wisdom and beauty. His job in heaven was what? He was a worship leader, and he enjoyed his position. He enjoyed it so much that he wanted the praise and worship for himself. He can cause you to look at your circumstances and not at God. He'll suggest that we're not even worthy to enter God's throne room and to talk to him, or even worthy to give him praise. Or better yet, and he's gotten me like this, he'll convince us that we need to try to work things out on our own. That is the biggest danger. You don't really need to tell God about that, Pam. Just, you're smart enough. You can figure all that out on your own, can't you? And see, because we're human and we like the whole idea of making our own decisions and be independent, it's so easy to get sucked into that lie. This is a slippery slope of taking us out of fellowship with God, because before you know it, we've spiraled into a pit of hopelessness. So when we become aware that Satan is on the prowl, and yes, I said prowl, we cannot battle him with our wit or our street smarts. He's too smart and crafty for that. Even Jesus only dealt with him with the word of God. We have to immediately start praising and thanking God and watch the devil flee. Last but most important, praising God activates the power and the authority of the cross.
All right.
Colossians 2:13-15 reads, "You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. It's so important, I know, sometimes because the cross can get downplayed. You know, you hear about it, and it's Easter, and we wear crosses around our neck, and all that's really nice. But we as Christians really have to make sure that the cross and what happened on the cross is the focal point of our faith. It's important that we never lose sight of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He not only bought our salvation, but gained authority, benefits, and power that he now freely imparts to us to use. We can tap into this same authority and power to defeat the enemy and rise above our circumstances. All situations shrink and don't seem so big when we view them through the shadows of the cross. The cross provides us today the surpassing greatness of God's power. This was the same power that raised Christ from the dead.
All right.
The message of the cross is God has enough power to turn a seemingly impossible situation, Jesus' death, into victory for us, Jesus getting up on that third day morning. All we have to do is trust him. And praising him, especially in the middle of a trial, is a form of trust. Yeah. The more we praise God, the less time we spend focused on and worried about our circumstances. If we praise God, we're opening up the path for forgiveness, peace, victory, and joy. Embracing the accomplishments of the cross provides us with the opportunity to see what God can do beyond the normal and the possible. It propels us into impossible thinking. Praise him because he hung on the cross and said, "Not my will, but yours, Father." And took on all the sins of the world so that we may have life. He canceled the debt and wiped the slate clean forever. That alone is good for a couple of hours of just merely praising God. So as I close, and I'm so, you know, God has a way of connecting things. Brother Jerome Carter mentioned this in his presentation, and this is exactly what I'm getting ready to go through, and I just love that. I love when God does that. I listen to a radio station called 95.1 Shine, and they call these God winks, where God does something and let you know, I got you, I see you. So in Acts 16:22 through 36, we find Paul and Silas in prison. And they're not just in prison. I mean, they're not just behind the doors. I mean, they have them chained and shackled. But they did not have a pity party. What did Paul and Silas do? They started singing and praising God. And the prison started to shake. And the shackles broke off. Not just from them, but from all the prisoners in there. And from that, people were saved. People were brought to Christ. So I have a question for you. What has you shackled? What is your prison? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Maybe you're holding on to some past hurts. Maybe you're jealous or you have some guilt. Whatever it is, start praising God. For me personally, and this is full disclosure, I struggle with the fear of failure. Am I measuring up at work? Am I a good mother to my boys? Am I a good wife to my husband? And over time, I've learned that when I start feeling those feelings of fear start building up, I just start praising God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for being God and being God all by yourself. Thank you, Lord, for getting rid of this fear and anxiety, because I know that in your eyes, I'm all that you need me to be. So I urge you all to do the same. Offer up your issues, your circumstances, and your concerns to God. For those of you who are still having a hard time finding some reasons to praise God, allow me to give you a few reasons. Let me dab. Praise him because he was bruised but brought healing. Praise him because he was pierced but eases pain. Praise him because he was persecuted but provides freedom. Praise him because he was risen to bring power. Praise him because he's the first and the last. Praise him because he is the keeper of creation and the creator of all things. Praise him because he always was, always is, and always will be. Praise him because he's holy and righteous and sovereign. Praise him traffic as he comes down from heaven to see about us. Praise him because he cares about every aspect of our lives. He wants to be involved in every detail. There's a saying that says the devil's in the details. That's wrong. Jesus is in the details. Praise him because he's everything for everybody and we belong to him. We will praise him in our trials because we trust that all things work together for good for those that are called according to his purpose. Praise him because he's God and that we can't, but he can. Always enter every situation, every circumstance, every day. Enter it in praise. Enter the courthouse, the doctor's office, your job, your church, the hospital, the funeral home, school, the child support office, the operating room, the airplane or your car or a train, the intensive care unit, and enter your home in praise. Put God on the front lines because the battle is not yours. It's the Lord. May God keep you and bless you. God bless you.